Some of you came to see this lovely castle. Be it ever so humble, there is no place like Queen Palmer's Hash House. Or you have an insistent friend who wouldn't take no for an answer. So you're here, but you're not really sure this is where you want to be this morning. Or maybe you wanted to follow up on the previous talks on how to have real joy, help in your marriage, and how to live creatively. And you know that these tie in to the subject for today. But you might be like some others who may be here and be a little afraid of what might come out today. Or maybe you're here because your children are just about to get out of school for the summer and you need a little kickoff. And there was a nursery provided. You came against your better judgment because what you expect to hear will only confirm your suspicions. You think you have a hash house, but that it's too late to do anything about it. Why do I say that? In the natural, that would be my reaction if I were you today. I would assume that probably if I were to compare my house, my home, with someone else's, especially on certain days, it's definitely a hash house, but don't bother me with help, because I know that involves hurt. I really didn't know where to begin, and I have been really frustrated because I've known for a long time that today was coming. But there was so much material. I began to realize that every time I picked up the supplement in the Denver Post, it had something about homes and families. I'm in a Philosophy of Christian Womanhood course, and it's about the wife's role in the home, both secular and religious. I think the women's liberation movement has had one very, very positive effect on our society. It is making us stop and take stock of our homes. But our homes are so varied. Some of your homes are very neat. You probably left this morning and everything was in order. Obviously, most of you do not have them all in order. Some have a husband and a father. Some do not. Some of you are efficient mothers and homemakers. Some of you are just not finding satisfaction in even aiming at being an efficient mother and homemaker. Our one common denominator is that we're right here. Other than that, I don't know too much about most of you. We're right here in what was once General Palmer's home, where Queen had the role of establishing either a home or a hash house. And we can look at this glorious place and think, boy, if I had a place like this with all the servants she has had, it would definitely be a home. No, because you'd still be Queen, a woman, with three children, and a husband whom I imagine was very demanding, because General Palmer was that kind of a man. So you would be faced with the same decisions you and I are faced with in our three-bedroom, tri-level, suburb home. You know what? Did you read what the Gazette said about suburbia? It's where we figured we could go to get away from it all, but we all got there at the same time. Many thoughts have come to me as I've thought about what I would share with you today, and I'm sure you can identify with where these thoughts hit me. One hit me when I was cleaning out Scott's jeans pockets, which I have learned to do the hard way, and I got 6 rubber bands, a gum wrapper paper, and 35 cents. And I thought, this is my son. He's 11 years old. And cleaning out his jeans pockets made me realize that he's now in student sizes and he's not going to be with us too much longer. Or maybe when my 8 and 10-year-old daughters were told to clean their room, they balked, But once they decide to do it, they take everything out, put it in the middle of the room, and then get completely frustrated about how to get it all back in where it belongs. And I thought about a hash house. Or when letting them bake cookies the other day. Now, I love to cook. I do not love to teach my daughters to cook. And I know I must. But the hardest part is getting it not to look like a hash house when they get through. But I thought about what to share with you today. In my mind, each of these times was this thought, which is my home? I thought of Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, and she'd been on a terribly exciting adventure. And my children watch it every year, so I always get this one phrase at the end of it. When Dorothy returns in her dream and wakes up, and there's Aunt Em. And she says, "Oh, Aunt Em, I'm home." Now, home wasn't a very fancy place. And Aunt Em was not even her real mother. But to Dorothy, that was home. In public health nursing, we had 6 weeks of walking the streets of Seattle, Washington, knocking on doors that were homes. Some were very fancy, very much in order. One was a man living in a little room by himself, doing what he wanted to do the way he wanted to do it. And it was his home. And then I would come home to my home at night because they allowed us to live at home during this time. And it was so good to come home. Washington Irving has expressed it this way. It was the policy of the good old parent to make his children feel that home was the happiest place in the world. And he says, "I value this delicious home feeling as one of the choicest gifts a parent can bestow." This delicious home feeling is one of the choicest gifts that a parent can bestow. So let us pursue these rambling thoughts I had while I was cleaning out Scott's pockets and putting the girls' room back in order, and put them into an order that will be of value to you and to me as makers of homes, be they havens or hash houses. Just what is a hash house, anyway? And anyone who's ever been around me very much knows that I don't go very far without a dictionary, because it's very revealing sometimes. We assume an awful lot. And I assumed I knew what she meant by the difference between a haven and a hash house. I'm not so sure I was right. A house, according to Webster, is a building for human habitation, a building for any purpose. Now, hash is a mess, or a jumble, or a muddle, which means to mix up or jumble together. Now, I'm not going to say to you that having a hash house is all bad, because, you know, when I was growing up, we really liked hash, because my mother put hash together with a purpose. Her purpose was a low budget, but we really liked it. It just depends on what was behind it. I think it was because my mother's hash was part of my home feeling. In fact, how would we define mess? I go and look at Scott's room, and I say, "Scott, your room is a mess." And he looks at it and he says, "Well, I don't see any mess. What's wrong with it?" To him, it's not a mess. So we really have to define that before we'd know whether we have a hash house. So maybe our sharing today should be more involved not in what is a hash house, but what makes it a haven. Back to the dictionary. A haven is any place of shelter and safety. Home is any place of refuge in a situation familiar to one. Dr. John Knowles, who is the president of the Rockefeller Foundation, whom I will quote again later, puts it this way. "By my definition, a home, in contrast to a house, is something that gives shelter from the elements and has," and if you don't copy anything else down, Copy this. It has someone in residence who cares continually. I'll repeat it. By my definition, a home, in contrast to a house, is something that gives shelter from the elements and has someone in residence who cares continually. So let me conclude for all of us today that this is not a talk on how to be a better housekeeper. Carol could never have chosen me if she'd wanted that. That may or may not make a haven for your family or for your husband. That can be such a priority with you that you forget to care continually. It may make it miserable. It may be what your husband needs. That's a whole different subject. It's not even how to be even-tempered, always neat, and ready for any occasion. This is not a debate between the concepts of Irma Bombeck, who implies that everything is in a disordered, chaotic mess in her home, and Heloise, who always has an efficient way, and it's usually white vinegar. It is the result of much reading about the status of our American homes. There was a recent article by this John Knowles entitled American Family in Trouble. I would highly recommend to you Dr. Howard Henrich's book, Heaven Help the Home. Plus, some serious consideration as to whether some of the so-called experts are right, that family life is on its way out. It isn't really the efficient way to go. There are some who feel that we're fast approaching the era when the family as we know it is not really the best way to go about it. Dr. Howie Henrichs has a quote in his book of a very frustrated young mother who says it this way, "I've either got the wrong recipe or the wrong ingredients. I've thrown my whole life into this stew. And if this family isn't the worst mess of goulash I've ever seen, well, I just want to give up." Let me quote to you again from the article by Dr. John Knowles. When Dr. Knowles, president of the Rockefeller Foundation, surveys the divorce rate and the breakdown of American family life and of discipline, he feels, he says, as though he was reading Oswald Spengler's The Decline of the West. Having stated his acceptance of the liberation of women, Knowles, the father of six, continues, "But I would stand up for the values of thoughtful, energetic, creative mothers who care for families and make a home out of a house and provide the best mental, physical, and intellectual environment for the development of her children and her husband. I would say the majority of people in this country feel this way and are struggling to maintain the ideal." Based on declining rates of attendance at church, the modern pulpit has failed in its ability to reach the average person about the meaning of life. If God is dead in the minds of people, and there is no hereafter, then we are going to have it now and live it up, and enjoy it now and don't think about the ultimate tragedy of the life cycle or the ultimate meaning of the individual life. Now, I don't know your home. No one here started out as a starry-eyed bride to establish a hash house. That was not our goal on the day we were married. A study by a Christian psychiatrist found that 75% of those married considered their marriages a failure and rated their homes as unhappy. Where do we start to diagnose the problem and treat the disease? How do we put it into its proper perspective? What is normal, and who decided that this whole thing could work anyway. It's really asking a lot. You know, the unusual part of it is we are told that opposites attract. We get married and find out that he's very different than we are. And you're living under the same roof and producing children that are extremely different again. Now, maybe it's true that family life just isn't practical, just won't work. This whole concept of the establishment of a home was not man's idea. This was God's original plan. He set up a model in the Garden of Eden. He created Adam, and then he found out that in spite of all the animals, and in spite of this beautiful spot with no ecology problems, with no overpopulation, Adam was lonely and needed something, someone. And so he created Eve to be his companion and his helper, and instructed them, commanded them to bear children. So there's our start. If we wonder if family life is the wrong way to go, it started with God's idea, and when God has an idea, he gives us everything we need to carry it out to his glory. They had a perfect environment and a beautiful relationship to God. We can talk in ethereal terms about our relationship to God when we're up. They must have always been up, because sin hadn't taken place yet. God's model home was set up as our pattern. But what happened? What turned the Garden of Eden? What made them turn him turn them out to live in what was a hash house? Disobedience to God. Adam and Eve disobeyed God and lost the privilege of living in this beautiful, beautiful home that makes the Glenary spot probably ugly by comparison. Frank Crane has said the most essential element in any home is God. It was sin behind the fact that Adam and Eve's son murdered his brother. Now that is real family relationship problems. I think I've got problems when my children don't get along. Adam and Eve's sons really had a problem. Sin disrupts a home, makes it less than a haven. What can you do about it? Do you know that God made it possible to reestablish that fellowship with himself, and thereby with your husband and with your children? Now, that seems to many people to be an impossibility. I'm facing the teenage years, so you could say, well, you just don't know what it's like to have teenagers. I think I do, because I think that Scott, approaching 12, is already a teenager. I think they hit it early. But I know parents who are in fellowship with Jesus Christ, who are in fellowship with their teenagers. It is possible. It is God's plan. But we have come to accept this breakdown of the whole relationship as just what we can expect. I think we're setting our standard far below God's plan. John 10:10 is perhaps Jesus summing up the promise for our home. Your home can be what he intended and what you would like it to be. Because he said, I am come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now, I can't see that the results of this survey of women who felt that their marriage was disappointing and their home was a failure is any follow-through on the promise that Jesus gave when he said, I want you to have an abundant life. Most of our time is spent in that haven. That must be where the abundance is intended to be fulfilled. Or one version says, my purpose is to give life in all of its fullness. And that certainly indicates to me that home is to be a haven. The abundant life and all the help that goes with it is not available to you just because you attend church. It is not available to you just because you don't not believe in God. Or just because you shoot up a word of prayer in a crisis in your home. It's not available to you just because you sort of believe. 1 John 5:11 and 12 tells us to accept the fact that God has given concerning his Son. I'm not asking you to accept the fact that I have given concerning the Son of God. And this is that God has given man eternal life. And this real life is to be found only in his Son. Real life. Can you stop and go back over the last week in your home and really say it's been real life? It follows, this verse says, that if any woman has genuine contact with God, Christ, she has this life. But it also follows that if she does not have genuine contact with Jesus Christ, she does not have this life. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but I know it's fairly common that people are just like I was. I was sitting on the fence. I sort of felt I wasn't not a Christian, but I wouldn't make a statement saying I was a Christian. I wouldn't go so far as to say that because I was afraid of what it might require of me. All I was worrying about is what it might require of me, and I hadn't even considered all that it could mean to me. I hadn't considered the abundance of that life. Jesus is really God in human form, making possible this genuine contact with God. Genuine contact with God. That is a very big statement. For me to stand before you and tell you that you can have genuine contact with God, I've got to be pretty sure of my ground. And I am positive because I have made that genuine contact with God strictly through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. He meets you right where you are, not where you'd like to be. Whether you think you have a haven or a hash house, whether you're frustrated and defeated, or whether you're doing pretty well on your own. And we are not all frustrated and defeated. Some of us really have a lot of abilities, and we haven't even come to the realization yet of how much better life could be with Jesus Christ in control. Whether you're efficient or not. And you know, even if you think you're not efficient, that's all relative. There's always somebody else more efficient. Somebody else that can do it better and worse. And I can get really hung up on this. Not comparing myself to God's standard, but to my neighbor. He will add a depth to your life right now. Plus, the promise of eternal life. Do you realize that God does not just promise you eternal life, but a haven right now? And you know, we cannot make a haven for our families if in our minds our whole life is a hash house. If there's a jumbled mess inside of me, I cannot make a haven for my family. Romans 3:23 tells me even if I think I'm efficient, and even if I think I'm doing a pretty good job of my home, my children haven't done anything grotesquely wrong yet, and my husband thinks I do a pretty good job, and I'm a pretty mean cook, and I don't keep the best house in the neighborhood, but it's not the worst either. So I'm not so sure that what this woman is saying today is my need. God says every single one of us in this room have fallen short of the beauty of God's plan. Do you realize it's the beauty of God's plan that you've fallen short of? It's not that you've fallen short of your goals, because your goals aren't as high as God's. God has something far better for you than what you conceive of for yourself. Romans 3:23 says we've all fallen short of that. We all stand alike before Him. He does not compare us to our next door neighbor. He does not compare us to another woman. But He makes us eligible for reestablishing that one once perfect fellowship with God. And then we have the promise of Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds your house, you're laboring in vain. You're working for nothing. I don't care how efficient you are, or how obedient your children seem, or how lovely your home is. Unless God is building your home, you're doing it all for nothing anyway. Psalm 101, verse 2, should be the cry of each one of us if we're honest. I will try to walk a blameless path, but how I need your help, especially in my own home, where I long to act as I should. Isn't that true of every woman here? There aren't any of us that don't want to act as we should in our own homes. And that is exactly where we don't act as we should. You can act just like you should today. There won't be a one of us that will guess what this morning was like in your home. Not unless you tell us. I'm sure that's why the psalmist put it this way. I long to act as I should in my own home. We don't set out in the morning to deliberately cross our children. I'm amazed at how good my intentions can be just before they get home from school in the afternoon, and how fast they can just obliterate my intentions. And things aren't what I wanted them to be. Or we can have a real wonderful family evening planned, and with three kids fighting in the back seat, our tendency is to feel like we ought to turn around and go back. And it just can spoil the whole evening. And yet in my heart, I'm longing to act as I should in front of my family, who know me best. If you aren't really getting God's help, it's because either, number one, you have not reestablished your relationship to Jesus Christ, or you are a Christian and you're just not letting Him help you in your home where you really need help. God has a plan and a purpose for your home. He does not plan that it be this hash house that you have in your mind. Like I said, that may not be bad depending on how you define it. It might be planned mess, and that's all right. But God intends that you find out what His plan is for your home, because it's so much better than your plan. Are you just drifting and hoping it's going to come out all right? I've talked to women like this. Well, I've done all I know to do, and now I just have to hope that they'll come out all right. In myself, that seems hopeless. They're subjected to so many other influences, so many things over which I have no control, that I would hate to sit back and just hope everything comes out all right. I want something more positive than that. Or do you have a plan? Do you know what you want for your family? Are you in fellowship with God and experiencing His love so you can be free and challenged to be that one in your home who cares continually? That doesn't say you're there continually. And I think sometimes we have the idea, in order to be a good mother, we have to be there continually. Now, for some of us, that would just cross us right off right now. No, this doesn't say you have to be there continually. This is not fulfilling to every woman. It says to care continually. As much as I run around, some of my running around is because I care about my family and I'm taking care of them. It does not say continual maid service for your family, but love. There's a vast field and a huge responsibility. Very little training. Some of you may be home economics majors, and they all tell me there was very little actual training for the nitty-gritty of everyday life. Do you know where you can get your training? From such promises as Philippians 4:13, "For I can do everything that God asks me to do." Now, we've already established God asked us to establish a haven for our families. God asked me to do this. That we know. So, I can claim Philippians 4:13, and it says, "I can do everything God asked me to do with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and the power." It does not say that he gives me all the efficient little ways that Heloise can give me. It says he gives me strength. And don't you sometimes just, you know, we facetiously say, "Lord, give me strength and make me take it." He gives me strength and power. I want to share with you something out of Howie Hendricks' little book. The very last page of Heaven Help the Home, on how to remodel your home. And with this we'll close. No matter where you are today, I'm sure that in the actual home you live in, there are some things you'd like changed. We'd like to add a room. And we're told by a carpenter building costs are going up like 25% every week. We'd like to give our children each a separate bedroom. There are lots of little remodeling things we'd like to do. I'm sure if you had the option today to remodel your home, you'd like to do it. Let's consider together some ways to remodel our haven. And then if you're impressed with these, as I was, maybe you can pick up an inexpensive copy of this little book, because it's loaded with what goes before this. Review the status of each member of the household to see that everyone feels he's a VIP in your family. He can believe in himself because this in-group where he lives likes him, accepts him, and trusts him for himself. Do your children and does your husband feel like a VIP in your home, like he's really in right there? All right, check the basic structure. Dad is to be the head, mother transparently supporting him, and the children all sharing responsibilities. That's the basic structure. And, you know, we've been told there are certain things we can't do to our home because the basic structure isn't right. So we have to start there. Scrutinize family values. A dominant, unifying, focal theme is needed. Anything other than Jesus Christ is too weak for permanent cohesion. A personal commitment to Christ, backed up with positive reasons, should be the parental example. At some point, every member of your family should be privately confronted with the claims of Christ on his life. Develop family pride through accomplishment with skill and talent. Plant the seeds with music lessons, hobbies, good books. Use every ability God has given you. Build up the fun side of the family with laughter at mistakes and imaginative recreational possibilities. A positive, constructive home is magnetic. Ease up on forced togetherness. Give each one encouragement to be away sometime. At home, provide privacy to foster his personal relationship to God. Overhaul the emotional air conditioning system. Avoid charging the atmosphere with tension. Keep the home ventilated with positive comments and relaxed attitudes. Sweep out old grudges like worthless debris. Forgive and forget the past, even as Christ has forgiven you. Renew the outlets so that the family is wired for positive communication. A free exchange of ideas without condemnation is essential. Remember that communication is largely by life not by lecture. Keep the door open to family friends, allowing the fragrance of a virile Christian home to benefit others. Expect periodic spills of immaturity and imperfection. Clean them up with firm, calm, reasonable discipline. Plan a better way for next time. Let out enough developmental rope to allow each individual not to hang himself, but to tie a few of his own knots. And finally, allow the Holy Spirit to make you authentically like Christ. No artificial front can stand the daily erosion of home life. What you are is far more important than what you say. And what you are, ladies, starts with your right relationship to Jesus Christ. It all starts right there and builds to this fantastic plan that God has for your life. If there's anyone here who has not started to build and feels frustrated because she doesn't really understand what I've shared or what I mean by that personal relationship to Jesus Christ, please talk to either myself or someone that you know knows. And if there are some here who have committed their lives to Christ, but you feel like you're frantically building a hash house, do get in one of these Bible studies. Studying God's Word reveals God's plan. And He does have a plan. Let's ask Him to show each one of us why you took a whole morning out to come to Glen Eyrie. It wasn't just for the tour. He had an eternal purpose. Don't miss it. Let us pray.